I apologize that this talk is not directly relevant to the problem, only maybe to the topic of this school. Partly, I share this guilt with Victor Guerrero, convinced me to choose this topic because another which was more relevant to this is already known to him. So, sorry. Anyway, I will speak about, as you see, about fast quantum noise in Landau's inner transitions. And will it work? No, it doesn't. OK. Then this should work. Yeah. Why? Ah, it doesn't because I didn't switch it. OK. So what I'm going to speak about is first the introduction and motivation of this problem, then fast noise in two-level systems, then quantum noise and its characterization, then about microscopic derivation of master equation, which is an essential part of this problem, but not the whole problem. And then I will speak specifically about transitions produced by so-called transverse noise. I will define it a little bit later. Then about noise, a situation when noise and regular Landau's inner type transitions work together. And then about a situation at zero temperature. Well, a preliminary information about noise and how noise works in molecular magnets, and conclusions. Okay, so first introduction and motivation, and that is about Landau's inner theory, which is very famous, starting from the year 1932. Not 75 years ago. the theory relates to the, as you know, to the crossing of two levels, which are called diabatic levels. These are levels of diagonal part of Hamiltonian. But there is also non-diagonal matrix element, which doesn't depend on time, and which introduces, and if this, instead of time, we would have a, instead of time, we would have a parameter that would be the famous avoided level crossing according to Wigner-Neumann theorem. And the distance between the levels, minimal distance between the levels, is equal to this matrix element. I will call it Landau's inner gap. OK, and now this problem is reduced to the solution of Schrödinger equations for two-level systems. A1 and A2 are the amplitudes to find the system, two-level system in the state, in the diabatic state 1 or diabatic state 2, so in the system, in these states. Now, E1 and E2 are the energy level depending on time, and delta is this Landau's inner gap. I will sometimes accept H equal to 1, sometimes H, I will write H, so that is a little bit random. The accepted approximation in Landau's inner problem is that because the transitions, I'm sorry, because the transitions are the transitions are active only in near the crossing point, then we can accept that omega on t is linear function of time. Now, The adiabatic levels are given by a famous formula from quantum mechanics, and without loss of generality, we can accept that this first term is zero with very simple phase transformation, and then E2 equal to minus E1, which was written on all my pictures and will be written. Now, the only dimensionless parameter which can be formed from values determining the problem is a ratio delta to h, here h is not 1, divided by square root of omega dot. That is dimensionless parameter, and therefore the probability of transition or amplitude of transitions should depend only on this parameter. Now, when gamma is much less than 1, that means that either delta is very small or omega dot is very big, then with probability almost 1, the system follows the diabatic level. If gamma is much bigger than 1, then with the probability almost 1, system follows adiabatic levels, which is very understandable situation. Now, we can introduce a Landau-Zinner transition matrix, which is SU2 matrix with two matrix elements, essential matrix element alpha and beta, amplitude to stay at the same diabatic level was found by Landau without solution of these equations. This is exponent of minus pi gamma square. Now, the transition amplitude beta was found by Zinner, who has solved this equation, and it is a little bit more complicated, as you see. It introduces such complicated function as Euler gamma, yeah? But it has not only, its modulus is very clear, can be easily found from this relationship and this, but its phase is not, is non-trivial. Now, the transition proceeds during the Landau-Zinner time, which is the ratio delta to omega dot, and this time can be visualized as a time during which the distances between diabatic levels still are comparable with Landau-Zinner gap. Okay. After this time, delta is not more effective, and transition do not proceed. Now, the conditions of validity of linear approximation for diabatic levels requires that the quadratic term should be small in comparison to linear term, and if we have a second derivative of omega, this ratio determines this saturation time during which deviation becomes essential, and Landau-Zinner time should be much smaller than that. Now, among the the applications of this theory is very numerous. I have no time to mention all of them, and I will speak about more or less new applications, and one of them is to molecular magnets. Molecular magnets are sufficiently complicated, but not very big molecules of the size about nanometer. They contain the core of magnetic atoms bound by organic ligands. The most popular are manganese 12 and iron 8, which both have total spin equal to 10. This is another such a system, but if we can characterize these molecules as more or less as molecular ferromagnet, this is molecular antiferromagnet. It has total spin equal to 1/2. Now, vanadium 15. What is, why is Landau-Zinner theory is relevant to this nanomagnets is seen from the picture of spin reversal in nanomagnets or magnetization versus magnetic field. You see here that first of all, it has a very pronounced step-like character with several steps on that, and the magnetization or hysteresis curve depends on temperature until temperature about 0.5. Below 0.5, the magnetization versus magnetic field doesn't depend more on temperature, and from, to say, 0.4 to 0.04, it doesn't change. So that is, that means that temperature doesn't play more any role, and that is completely quantum phenomenon. Another important characteristic of nanomagnets is that because they are very far each to other, this magnetic cores are on distances about 10 to 15 nanometers each to other, they do not interact in by exchange interaction. So the strongest interaction is dipolar interaction. It is very small. And what we see here is the hysteresis of individual molecule, not the hysteresis of collective. Now, what is the reason for these steps? This can be understood from another picture. The lower picture shows the levels of this core considered like considered as one big magnet, in which is placed in the crystal field of molecule, which splits the levels like here, even at magnetic field equal to zero. And the lower level corresponds to spins minus 10 and plus 10. It is almost degenerate. It is a little bit split, but this splitting is not seen in this scale. Then we see 9 and minus 9, 8 and minus 8, and so on. The splitting is very well seen in for s equal to 1. And for s equal to 0 certainly has no splitting. Okay. Now what happens is that when you change, when you sweep the magnetic field in time, the levels are subject to Zeeman splitting, and they time to time cross, to say minus 10 to plus 9, minus 10 to plus 8, and so on. And at each such crossing, the Landau-Zinner transition takes place, and that gives such a step more or less big. Now,
so it's dependent on the rate that you change the magnetic field?
Yeah, the magnetic field changes in time. They sweep the magnetic field with, and the upper picture shows how this magnetization curve depends on sweeping rate. So you see here that the bigger is sweeping rate, the broader is this hysteresis loop. Okay. Now, this picture also shows that not only the Landau-Zinner transition is essential, but also the noise or thermal reservoir is essential, because you see here that starting from the temperature 0.5 Kelvin or 0.4, the hysteresis loops become dependent and very strongly dependent on temperature. So the noise plays essential role. On the other hand, if you look at this picture even here, we see that it goes from minus one to plus one. And that motion is possible only due to the transitions, not only in crossing point, but also from during more long time in the process, we should have possibility to go from, to say, to plus seven to minus to plus 10. Otherwise, it is impossible. It will remain on plus seven. It will not give the maximal magnetization in there. At least spontaneous processes with phonon, probably radiation, should be available. Okay. Now another application is a controllable switch between states for quantum computing, and that almost all of them have the idea that you can produce the transition in controllable way. So if you have a Landau-Zener system, to say, with very big gamma, and we can sweep the field which driving field which produces this transition, then it will control with probability almost one, go from one quantum state to another quantum state. But if we have a noise, that it introduces mistakes to the switch work. If noise produces transition, it can produce this transition, and then we will see quite different state. And that is called transverse noise. Now, if the noise doesn't produce transition, but it is it distorts the level, it creates uncontrollable change of phase, and in this way, it creates decoherence. Now, this is history. I have mentioned two works, Landau and Zener, as pioneering works. In reality, there were two other works, one by Schuckelberg and one by Majorana. In the same year, 32, they were absolutely independent. I don't know why it was produced in 1 year. But Landau was really the first, and Zener was the second. So that why I left them. Now, the longitudinal noise was considered in a number of work. I have mentioned here the first work by Kayanuma. I'm sorry. By Kayanuma, in which he has introduced very special. That was the first work. Then in the two second works, Geffen and Au and Rammer, the conclusion were contradictory, and therefore there was this fourth work by Kayanuma, Kayanuma Nakamura, who made a very comprehensive study of this problem and established that Au and Rammer were right in this discussion. And also they consider several, they established several limiting cases, but the problem is not yet completely solved. Now, the classical transverse noise was considered by Kayanuma first in 84, who considered very special shape of correlation function, which enabled him to solve this problem analytically to some perturbation theories. And a more general approach was in this work. In the last work, we have calculated two time correlation functions for it. What should we expect from intuitive point of view if the noise is transfer if we have transverse noise and it is fast? Fast means that during the correlation time of noise, or during the time inverse proportional to the spectral widths, there will be the instantaneous frequency almost doesn't change. Then intuitively it is clear that the transition is produced by that spectral component of noise whose frequency is equal to instantaneous values of noise. That means that if you, to say, consider this moment of time, then the frequency is this, and only this spectral component of noise, which is equal to this value, will produce transition. If you consider, to say, positive time here, then this frequency will, this spectral spectral component will produce transition, and we will see something like master equation, to say the occupation number of the first level is proportional to the derivative is proportional to the value of n times probability of transition to the second level with a sign minus, and this gives us transition from the second level to the first level, and the noise will be here. I will show how this master equation looks in reality. That is a project. Now we should add the conservation number, the conservation law, and from this project, we see that the transition probability at some moment of time measures the spectrum of noise. So the Landau Zener system, in this meaning, is analyzer of noise. What is important here is that the noise, if it is fast, produces the transitions during much a longer time than the Landau-Zener gap. Indeed, if we consider the noise, this is a spectral picture of the noise. The width is inverse correlation time of noise. And we see here that if we consider this moment of time, we can find the spectral component which produces this transition. But if we consider a later moment, then there is no spectral component which produces a transition, and at this moment transverse noise doesn't produce transitions, therefore it produces transition till some definite moment, which can be called accumulation time, at this moment just its spectral width equal to the value of frequency in this moment, and that produces a accumulation time which is inverse proportional to the correlation time of noise, and therefore it is much bigger than tau n itself. We also will assume that it is much bigger than Landau-Zener time. Beyond the interval of Landau-Zener time, longitudinal noise doesn't produce any transition, only transverse noise. So longitudinal noise as well as Landau's inner gap is effective only in this time interval. Therefore, we can separate all the problem into two separate problems, one for transverse noise and another for longitudinal noise plus Landau's inner gap. Now let me proceed to characterization of quantum noise. I will use the model of noise as phonons. The Hamiltonian of phonons will be like that. Now the interaction can be between phonons and two-level systems can be written like in the simplest form like that. This is called longitudinal noise. It is diagonal, and this is non-diagonal part, which is transverse noise. It is not the most general case. We can certainly introduce also the part proportional sigma y, but now each of these noises, longitudinal and transverse, will be assumed to be linear in operators B and B Dagger. So we will write it as sum of this operator is Hermitian, and we will write it as a sum of two operators. One contains only B, another contains only B Dagger, and this is eta. The noise is quantum. It means that the operators eta and eta Dagger are not commutative, and therefore their average value of eta Dagger eta is not equal to eta eta Dagger. For classical noise, it is the same. Now, the two-level system is described by this Hamiltonian. I didn't so far include it here, delta. And the total Hamiltonian is the Hamiltonian of two-level system plus noise plus interaction. So I consider this is very good for situation beyond the Landau's inner time when we can neglect delta. Inside, we should also add delta sigma x here. Now, the correlation function of noise, which can be written in this way, can be easily calculated in terms of GK and average values of B Dagger B, which is N, here. And you see here that for this correlation have exponent of minus I omega Q. All I omega Q are positive. In this meaning, it contains only positive frequency. If we take another, it will contain only NQ. And it contains only, and only in this meaning, negative frequency. Now, this NQ corresponds to induced transitions, and 1 corresponds to spontaneous transitions normally. Now, time scales of noise. If we are interested only in induced transitions, induced part, then the characteristic and the temperature is sufficiently low, then the characteristic time of this part is tau to power temperature to power minus 1. For spontaneous part, it is determined by this constant GQ square, how fast they decrease. And this is the frequency determined by this GQ, omega G. So the noise is fast, both of them are big in comparison to both time scales, square of omega, frequency scales, omega dot and delta. Now, we also can take a Fourier component of this correlation function, and this is a very obvious formula for them, and from here, from this formula you see that these Fourier components depend on contain on the positive frequency or on the negative frequency, and induced in spontaneous or only induced emission transition. Yeah, and that now finally, if the average value of NQ are determined by Boltzmann distribution, that, or more accurately by Bose distribution, Bose-Einstein, then we have the very simple relationship between eta eta dagger and eta dagger eta. So you see here that they are equal only when temperature equal to infinity. Now I will consider first of all the interval between this Landau-Zener time and accumulation time in which only transverse noise is active. So I will neglect delta and will neglect longitudinal noise. And what we should calculate is the occupation numbers on the level, diabatic level 1 or 2, and that is according to general formula. We should take the average value of projector to this state, and that is how it should be written. Rho n is the initial density matrix for both the noise or okay, let it be for simplicity for noise, so the, for phonons, which in principle it can be non-equilibrium also.
N alpha is occupation. N alpha is occupation of the one with delta.
After, sorry.
What's N sub alpha?
What is about N here?
No, N sub alpha. What is this quantity?
Left hand side.
N alpha. This is the occupation number on the state of the state alpha. Alpha is 1 or 2. Now this evolution operator is written in the interaction representation. That is standard formulas for that. And this interaction also is written in the interaction representation. So H0 is diagonal part of the Hamiltonian, which includes two-level diagonal part plus phonons Hamiltonian. And that is can be calculated using a little bit simplified version of Kaldish technique. Each of these U can be expanded in two series, and one of U is upper line, another U is lower line, and times are ordered in the chronological and anti-chronological time order. Points are the interactions. Now this red line is state 1, green line is state 2, and blue dashed line is phonon. After that, we should make all possible pairing of phonon lines according to weak theorem. However, in the case of a fast noise, it is possible to simplify the picture and leave only the so-called essential graphs, which have no crossing of phonon lines. Now, what is the contribution of graphs with crossing like that, to say. If we compare this graph to this graph, we will see that it contains extra factor, which is u perpendicular square times 2n square. And we accept that is another criterion which didn't participate so far. I will call that moderately strong noise. And I will argue later that for the fast noise, these graphs never are essential. But so far, I will speak about moderately strong noise. In particular, it means that no multi-Fanon processes are essential for this problem. But the perturbation parameter here is u perpendicular square divided by omega dot. And because this parameter is much bigger than this, it can be, in principle, small, big, absolutely arbitrary. So despite the fact that we formally can work only at this condition, moderately strong noise, the perturbation theory doesn't work in general.
May I ask you?
Yeah.
Well, naively, I expect that u perpendicular is of the same order of magnitude or even smaller than the Landau's inner gap.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, I will speak
Why
about.
Why do you take care of one, not the other?
I was a little bit, yeah. I will speak about this a little bit later, so you will find the answer. Now, what I will do, I will consider the connection between the values of n at some moment time of t and the moment of time t plus delta t, where delta t is small but not too small. Delta t, that is a kind of coarse grain approach. Delta t should be much bigger than correlation time of noise, but I'm sorry, it is should be minus 1/2, not minus 1. Now, in this situation, what is important that if we consider a part of graph between t and t plus delta t, then first of all, no lines which connect this interval to previous interval are essential because the time interval at which they are active is just tau n, and it is much smaller than delta t. Next, only the graphs with either zero Fanon lines or one Fanon lines are essential. We can neglect the graph with two Fanon lines here. And then we have three such graphs, only three. Each of them can be calculated explicitly. For example, I will show the expression for this graph. This is double integral from t to t plus delta t, because these two times are not ordered. They are independent. And we have here, instead of green line, we have this correlator. We should have also this time-dependent factor from time. It's more or less clear. And the approximate calculation can be done because this correlator depends only on difference t1 minus t2. And also, if you consider this phase factor, which is the phase is proportional to this integral, because T1 and T2 are very close each to other and much smaller than T, we can substitute omega on tau by omega at any moment to say T. And that it is proportional to T2 minus T1. And that gives us an opportunity to take this separately as to extend the integration to minus infinity by difference and take the Fourier, the instantaneous Fourier component at the frequency at this moment of time, and that is multiplied by delta t. So now, if we consider the contribution of two and more lines, it is proportional to this factor, and that is much smaller than this one. These are graphic equations of motion. The blue square contains two states 1 to two states 1, and a green square connects two states 1 to two states 2. And you see here that if you consider the moment t plus delta t, then on the finite interval, either there is no lines, and then that the difference of these two will give the derivative. Now, either we have one line connecting two sides, or one Fonon line on one side. And this is the same picture for green. And these are a kind, if you like, of Bethe-Salpeter equations. They can be reduced to the differential equation, and that is the differential equation which we have real differential equation instead of my project. Now, if we consider what is the meaning of each term, then the first term corresponds to the transition from the line 1 to the line 2 with absorption of a phonon. The second graph corresponds to the positive time when the transition can be either induced or spontaneous. The third term corresponds to transition from line 2 to line 1 at negative time, and the fourth term corresponds to transition from line 2 from state 2 to state 1 at positive time. That is the meaning of all four terms. Now, the main difference with classical case is that transition probabilities distinguish the upper and lower level. Now, the more convenient, if you take into account that n1 plus n2 is equal to 1, the more convenient value to consider is the difference between n1 minus n2 and half difference. And for SZ, this equation is a little bit simpler, like that. Now, what is important here is that you can easily separate the class. This is a classical part, and that is quantum part, which disappears when the commutator is equal to 0. That is classical limit. Now, another limit is a adiabatic limit, when we can neglect dSz over dt, put here a 0, and then from this equation we will easily find what is Sz on t. This is a adiabatic limit. And finally, we can find what happens when the noise is in equilibrium, then the ratio eta eta dagger to eta dagger eta is very well known, and the answer is very trivial. It is hyperbolic tangents of current frequency divided by 2t. So the equilibrium is established in each point at any time.
Function omega of t may be an arbitrary function, or it's only for a linear one.
Just a moment. Sorry, what?
Yeah, so the function omega of t.
Yeah.
Is it arbitrary function, or it should be linear?
No, it's in this situation it's arbitrary.
So, for example, is it possible that two-level system goes to small gap but then goes back? So it's not level crossing, but just approach, and then they're kissing each other and then go.
The answer is that it depends on whether the adiabaticity condition is satisfied. Uh-huh. If it is satisfied, then it is okay. If not, for example, if they cross really,
right?
Yeah. Or are too close.
In the classical part, they're responsible to equal probability of going up and going down. I mean, they.
It contains classical part contains both. Yeah, but in classical limit they are equal.
Right.
Mm. Now the next part relates to the important point that because the longitudinal and transverse noise is produced by the same phonons, there is an avoidable correlation between longitudinal and transverse noise. And therefore, we should also consider the graphs in which one part of line is longitudinal, another is transverse. That is correlation of longitudinal and transverse noise. Now, the correlation time for this noise is the same as for longitudinal itself and transverse itself, and that is the same tau n. Now, therefore, and this is the shortest time. So if you consider three such a graph, all these intervals between T1 and T2 are of the order of tau n. And comparing it to, say, to tau LZ, we should say that it is almost spontaneous transformation of the state 1 to state 2, like here or here. And this is the same which is produced by the Landau-Zinner gap. If you consider the Landau-Zinner gap in the system of diabatic levels, then each time gap produces such a transition from 1 to 2. So therefore, in the case of fast noise, the correlation between longitudinal and transverse noise renormalizes the delta. If you calculate the sum of all these three graphs, we will see that effective delta is delta plus something which depends on noise. And what enters here is the time integral of correlation function of the commutator u perpendicular to u parallel, and in terms of this coupling constant g, it looks like that if g are real. That is a simplified situation. If they are complex, we should write a little bit more complicated situation. One important consequence is that the renormalization of the gap doesn't depend on temperature, because only commutator enters here. Okay, and now there are two different puzzles in the experiments with molecular magnets, and one of them is that that the Landau-Zinner gap is isotopically sensitive. Look what happens. That is a picture for this experimental. The gap is the saturation value of this curves. And One of the upper corresponds to a lighter isotope of iron, and the lower corresponds to deuterium instead of hydrogen in the ligand. And you see here that there is a remarkable difference between the value of delta for this isotopically substituted. Now we understand that because the renormalization of gap is produced by phonons, it will be sensitive, and definitely it will be much more sensitive for substitution of hydrogen, but as far as I understand, that there should be a sufficiently strong interaction between optical branches, intermolecular oscillations and spin. That problem is not yet solved, but such an opportunity does exist in the theory. Another puzzle is that if you consider this transition, we see a lot of crossing, not on to say 10 and minus 10 first, then minus 10 and 9, and so on. But as theory of elementary theory of such a system should start with quadratic in spins Hamiltonian. It should be quadratic according to time reversal invariance, and on the other hand, it can be diagonalized. The quadratic part can be diagonalized. This is simplest Hamiltonian, and if this is dominant term, then the transition can be produced only between projection of spins which have the same parity, either both even or both odd. But in experiment, we have with remarkable we have the transition between to say minus 10 and 9 with approximately of the same order of magnitude probability that between minus 10 and 10 and so on. Now the renormalization of gap can produce a gap in between these two states which cannot be produced by this Hamiltonian. Okay. I have exhausted my time in reality, so I can stop in at that moment that it is, or I can continue about more 10 minutes if. How do you like?
I think 10 minutes. 10 minutes, okay. Is fine.
I don't know. Well,
I think it's fine.
Okay.
You like schedule, you don't have classes to.
Now, if we consider what is longitudinal noise, we will see that at least in the interval between Landau's inner time and accumulation time, it doesn't produce transition. If we consider these three graphs, elementary graphs for longitudinal noise, we see that they are the same as in the absence of transverse noise, and delta doesn't work. Therefore, their total contribution is zero, even without calculation. But certainly, the explicit calculation of these three graphs gives zero. Now, what does it do in the interval of Landau's inner time? We can approximately estimate, considering the classical longitudinal noise, then it produces the bipolar factor, because in this case, when it is classical, it simply changes phase. And we can calculate the bipolar factor, which looks like that, and calculate what is this contribution. And this contribution, it is occurs to be proportional to the square of fluctuation of longitudinal noise multiplied by tau n and tau lz. And it produces a significant effect if this factor is bigger than 1. On the other hand, this Landau Zener time is is omega dot delta divided by omega dot, and this is inverse time here. So we see that it is omega dot, but divided by the factor delta tau n, and that is much bigger than omega dot itself. The analogous criterion for transverse noise is much more liberal. It is simply that that the fluctuation square should be much bigger than omega dot. So the transverse noise produces effect at much smaller amplitude than longitudinal noise. Now we have a very interesting equation for Landau for a longitudinal noise in the phase case, which probably will solve this problem completely. We have equation, but we still don't know precisely how to solve it. Now, what happens when the noise and Landau Zener gap works together is that because they are separated in time, we can consider we can introduce the interval, the moment T1, which is much bigger than Landau Zener time and much less than accumulation time. And on the interval between minus infinity and minus T1, we can neglect longitudinal noise and delta and solve master equation. And because T1 is much less than T accumulation, we can put it in this solution equal to 0. Then in the interval between minus T1 and T1, we can solve Landau-Zener problem with longitudinal noise. But for this problem, we can put T1 equal to infinity, because this is. And finally, we can solve the master equation on the interval. And in this way, we match all the solution and find the what happens. Now, how to do that? The main difficulty is that we don't know precisely what longitudinal noise makes, but we understand, due to linearity of our approximation, we neglect the inverse effect of two level system on noise, that the density matrix for two level system linearly depends on plus infinity, linearly depends on density matrix on minus infinity. And also, and there are these elements which depend on what is the noise. But there are several relationships between the matrix element of this tensor. They follow from the requirement that trace of rho is 1 from on minus infinity and plus infinity. And therefore, what enters, and also if we accept that non-diagonal matrix elements are 0, then the only elements which enter are completely diagonal matrix elements, which are lambda 1, lambda 2. That means we need only two constants. And the result is the following, a little bit cumbersome, but Let me introduce the notation. First of all, this gamma perpendicular square is the analog of Landau-Zener parameter, this dimensionless parameter for transverse noise. Now, F is this classical contribution of the noise, and it enters here in the exponent, and G is just the commutator. So this is a quantum contribution. This is a classical contribution this time. Now, in the case when longitudinal noise is negligible and we see that it is very plausible, then lambda 1 and lambda 2 are equal to exponent. They are determined by Landau-Zener parameter, and the survival probability is very strongly simplified like that. Now you see here that if we consider the situation adiabatic for noise, that gamma perpendicular is much bigger than 1, then the answer is that the adiabatic limit in this integral form, it is not very clear, but the calculations show that we arrive at adiabatic limit. In the opposite case, we have Landau-Zener answer plus noise correction, which is proportional to gamma perpendicular square. Now, here there appears one more time which we can call decoherence time, and which is proportional to inverse proportional to the square of fluctuation time. This is a time during which SZ changes, or probability changes, essentially. Okay. Now, and that is probably the last what I can say. Can we say anything about the strong noise? And that is very strange. I would say if we have a very strong amplitude, such as that U squared times tau n squared is bigger than 1, and we calculate what is the Landau-Zener analog of Landau-Zener parameter for noise, it occurs much for fast noise. It occurs much bigger than 1. That means that at much smaller amplitude, which is necessary for noise to be strong, we are already in adiabatic regime. And that means that, for example, in the equilibrium case, the occupation number reach equilibrium, and that is the answer already. We can also treat it in a little bit different way. If you consider a fixed moment of time, and that is Landau-Zener frequency, then gamma is the width of these two levels at this moment. So we can consider them as broadened levels, and the width is just this gamma. Now, the fact that gamma is of the order of tau n minus 1, and this omega is also of the same order, means that the width and the distance between levels are of the same order of magnitude. But if we consider very strong noise, then the width is much bigger than the distance between level, and two levels are not distinguishable. Therefore, in this case, we should have n1 and n2 equal to 1/2. And our formula gives at least good interpolation between these two limiting cases. For zero temperature, there was very our formula for zero temperature is very strongly simplified, and it coincides with exact result which was obtained for zero temperature for this model without any assumption on strength of noise and short correlation time. Okay, now I will, I do not have time for that. I will go to the, I'm sorry. Okay. So I will show my conclusions here without comments. And that is an acknowledgement. Thank you very much.